Can I hand clap this morning? Hallelujah. So thankful to know that name this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. We're blessed to have a guest minister this morning. Brother Andrew asked, when was the last time you had a visiting minister? And I said, well, it's been a little while. A few months, I think. And so we're excited to have a brother with us and this morning and this evening. And we'll have him come out here in just a moment. But before we do, you can be seated for just a moment. I just have a couple of things I want to share before we turn the service over to our brother. And also, we'd like to welcome his beautiful wife, Sister Bernie, that's with us this morning. God bless you. So we have a COVID guideline update. There's been some recent updates by the CDC, and things have kind of settled down, and election year is over, and so politics have, at least in terms of these guidelines, have kind of moved out of the picture, and we're just following the science now. And so there's going to be some changes and some loosening up of the criteria of what we've been following here based on the science. Now, before I mention this, I just want to remind you that the whole reason why we've been taking safeguards is because, 30% of the population that gets COVID will have mild symptoms. 10% of the people that get COVID, this is pre-vaccination, 10% of the people that get COVID will end up in the hospital with various severity of conditions, some much worse than others. 2% of those will die. And those are indisputable. Those are numbers I've been watching, studying this from the very beginning. Those are the same numbers the world over. They're actually worse in some countries because, you know, their health care isn't as good as ours. And so the numbers, the deaths might be a little higher. Plus, sometimes those numbers are inflated because, you know, even here in our country, if you got in a car wreck and you died, they still tested you for COVID. And if you had COVID, the death was reported as a COVID death. So that was the politics end of it. So likewise, you know, if you have preconditions, like, say, diabetes, high blood pressure, you're prone to strokes. The number of people that die every year because of stroke, high diabetes, or high blood pressure is a lot higher than the number of people that are dying of COVID. But if you happen to have COVID and you die of a stroke or diabetes or whatever, it's registered as caused by COVID. Was it? Was it not? It's a gray area. The bottom line is that it's the 2% of the population that we're most concerned about. We're obviously concerned about everybody, but that's why the concern. 2% of people don't die from the flu. It's like, 0.1% that maybe die from the flu. So, and they don't overload the hospital system as a result. So the vaccine has come out, right? And, of course, with every vaccine and with every cure that's come out throughout the history of time, there'll be two sides to it. And, you know, the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. So people go into their different corners over that. But we as Christians and believers in the message that was sent to us in this hour, we believe what the prophet said when he said, I believe that God has given man these helps, these remedies, these cures. And of course he points out that they're not perfect, and they're also not what heals you. God's the only healer that there is. By and large, they're a help, and he thanked the Lord for it. You know, for instance, with polio, he speaks a lot about Jonas Salk in particular. you know, polio is pretty much wiped out because of the polio vaccine. We also know that smallpox used to kill 30% of all that were infected. I mean, that's huge, right? And the smallpox vaccine, you know, brought that number down to virtually zero. You'll hear stories about the downsides to vaccines. We're not here to dispute that. What we believe is whatever you do, you should do in faith, right? So you should do with confidence. And so if you're going to get vaccinated, thank the Lord for it. And just as you do taking anything into your body, whether it's food or drink, thank the Lord and have confidence, have faith. And if you don't have confidence in it, well, then don't do it. But don't, as we've said over and over and over, don't get in the camp over this. Don't make it a religious thing. Well, he does, she doesn't. And, you know, these people have taken the mark because they did. And these people are taking the mark because they didn't. These are more spiritual because they didn't. And that's all, you know, just as your conscience leads you. So having said all of that, the reason why we have new guidelines now is because there are now vaccinated versus unvaccinated. The numbers in Arizona right now of fully vaccinated people, 60% of our population is fully vaccinated. So I'm going to speak to the vaccinated first because that number is higher in our local fellowship. It's higher than 60%. And so I'm going to speak to the new COVID guidelines, and I know that it might surprise some of you, but have faith because the numbers back it up, okay? First of all, it is a fact that if you have been vaccinated, the risk of you ending up in the hospital, it's no longer 10%. The risk is way down. And the risk of you dying from COVID is almost non-existent. And that's the whole benefit of the vaccine, because your body has now been, your body now has antibodies in it to recognize that and go to war against it. So, you know, how sick you get, it kind of varies, but you're most likely not going to die and most likely not going to end up in the hospital unless you have pre-existing conditions. But if you have pre-existing conditions, you're in trouble anyway, right? So if you have diabetes, and this is not to pick on anybody because, you know, we didn't choose to have these things, but if you have diabetes, you have to be careful anyway, right? If you're prone to stroke, you have to be careful anyway. If you have heart trouble, you have to be careful anyway. If you have breathing trouble, you have to be careful anyway, right? But if you have any of these conditions or any combination of it, you're more at risk of having severe complications if you do get COVID. So you just need to be aware of that and take the steps to protect yourself as best you can. Okay, so if you have been vaccinated, first of all, I apologize, but there's four numbers that I'm going to use this morning. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to simplify the guidelines that that we've gotten from the CDC, and we will post all of this so that you can look at it yourself, and we encourage you to do that. But there's four numbers to keep in mind: the number 5, the number 7, 10, and 14. 5, 7, 10, 14. And actually, there's a fifth one. There's 3, and I hate that, but we'll get to that in just a moment. 5, 7, 10, and 14, okay? So if you have been vaccinated and you travel domestically, you're required to wear a mask on public transportation, so that's a given. It's recommended that you test 1 or 2 days before you travel. It's not required, but it's recommended. And then there's no need to test when you return. So that's a new one for us, right? And you're just going to have to trust us on that. That's what the CDC's guidance, and we're in agreement. You wore your mask, you're vaccinated, you have no symptoms, no need to test. Are you with me? These are the quarantine rules for those that have been vaccinated or have recovered from COVID in the last 3 months. If you come in contact with somebody that has symptoms and you're around them for 15 minutes or more, or a person that has tested positive, then you wear a mask for 14 days when indoors or when near other people outdoors, or you wear a mask for 7 days and you get tested no sooner than 5 days. So here's the five and the seven. And if you test, say, on the fifth day or the sixth day and you don't have COVID, you can quit wearing the mask on the seventh day. But just because you've been around somebody that has COVID doesn't mean you have to stay away from anybody if you've been vaccinated. Is that clear? That's going to make some people nervous. But that's why you got vaccinated. That's the whole purpose. Okay? So we had a situation like that yesterday, and there was a big panic and of reactions and what have you, because some, as far as we know, nobody that was at a gathering yesterday had COVID, but they were in households with people that did have COVID. And so there's a lot of people that are not here this morning that it will be okay if you've been vaccinated. It'll be okay for you to be here this evening, that you'll need to wear a mask. Okay? So you wear a mask for 7 days when indoors, or you keep 6 feet away from one another, and you test no earlier than the fifth day, and if your test comes back negative, you don't need to wear a mask after 7 days. If you choose not to test, then it's 10 days that you wear a mask. So there's where the 10 comes in. Okay, unvaccinated. If you travel domestically and you have not been vaccinated, you have to quarantine for 7 days. And on the, this is the part I don't get. You can, you get tested on the third or the fifth day. Don't ask me to explain that, the third or the fifth day. What I take from that is no sooner than 3 days with no symptoms. And you quarantine for 10 days. If there are no symptoms and you test negative, you still quarantine for 10 days. So let me repeat that. If you travel domestically, you're going to quarantine for 10 days. And you're going to get tested on the third to the fifth day. If you choose not to get tested, you'll quarantine for 14 days. If you attend social events that are indoors and you have not been vaccinated, then you must wear a mask. You quarantine for 7 days, test on the fifth. You're free to finish the quarantine after 10 days. If you choose not to test, it's 14 days. So is that clear? 5, 7, 10, 14. It kind of, you know, the simplest thing is vaccinated and test. If you do that, you only have to remember the number 5. 5 and 7, that's it. Right? See how simple that is? Okay, so there'll be a lot of people that will be able to come tonight that aren't here this morning because they were around somebody who was around somebody who tested positive. So they'll be able to come, but they should wear a mask. You know, as, just as we used to do when we, before the vaccine. So hopefully that's clear. Like I said, we will put it up on our web site and also on Facebook. Now, it's the timing of this is perfect because we have our Harvest Festival coming up, and people are probably wondering about that. Well, first of all, we're going to err on the side of safety, so it won't be like Golden Corral where everybody just kind of goes through the feed trough and everybody handles everything. We're going to have our sisters are going to serve. They're going to wear a mask and gloves, so they'll handle the utensils, and they'll serve us, but we don't want them to be there serving all day, right? So there's going to be a set amount of time that they serve, and when the line is ends, then they'll be able to partake, and that'll be the end of that. So the message there is if you aren't vaccinated, you probably want to get your plate full once, because after that, it's a free-for-all, and we're not going to police it or worry about it, but it'll be a little more risky if you haven't been vaccinated, because, you know, everybody's going to handle the utensils and what have you. So our activities are all going to be outdoors. If you have not been vaccinated, we highly recommend that you wear a mask for this, except for when you're eating, and then try to maintain social distancing as best you can. If you have been vaccinated, well, just come and enjoy. Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Have been vaccinated, or you've recovered in the last 3 months from... Actually, what they're saying is that the antibodies that your body produces is actually more effective than the vaccine. Vaccine is effective, but there's nothing better than your own body generating its own antibodies. So I hopefully that's clear. I tried to make it as simple as I could. And you say, but Brother Baker, I'm just tired of this. I don't want change. Well, nobody does. Nobody wants change. But this is a... We've been learning, and, you know, that's the thing about science. When it comes to the Word, we're not learning. God's Word on it is His final Word. He doesn't change, and He doesn't get smarter. But when it comes to science, they're learning, and things are getting better. Is this going to be the last time that we have changing guidelines? You know, I don't know. If we have another variant that comes along, you know, who knows? We can't predict the future, but... Right now, this is the best wisdom that we have, and we have confidence in it because it's backed up by data. So sorry to take so much of your time. Brother Andrew, it doesn't count against you. If you wouldn't mind standing tonight, or this morning. Was that a slip? One more thing. I'm sorry. I neglected to say this. I don't understand why I have to say this, but I do. If you're sick, don't come to church. Don't get around other people. Why is that a mystery? Part of the reason why we had a little bit of a problem yesterday is that people either were sick or they'd been around people that were sick. It's like, well, come on. You know, that's what it should be obvious. You know, if you're coming to church and somebody throws up, maybe you shouldn't come to church.
Right.
You don't know what it is.
Right?
Well, I've had such a headache, and I never get headaches. Well, shouldn't that be a clue to you? You don't get headaches. You got one. That's a symptom of COVID. Right? So we need to use common sense, right? Which I fully admit is no longer common. You got to think about it. But if you're having symptoms, for other people's sake, just err on the side of caution, right? At the very least, if it's some other bug, it isn't going to get passed around. At the very least. I can't tell you how many times people have come up and hugged me in the past after service saying, you know, I wasn't even going to come. I wasn't feeling good. And they give you a hug, and you're thinking, okay. But I just came by faith. Well, how do you know I have the faith for whatever it is that's bugging you, right? Or I just threw up before service, and here I am. Well, thank you very much. Wish you'd have told me that before we shook hands. Just a little common sense. Amen. He counts the stars, one and all. Brother Andrew, if you'd make your way out. We're thrilled to have our brother. He's from Chivac. The fellowship there is the Uttermost Tabernacle, which, you're supposed to go to preach this gospel, go to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that's about as far as you can go north and still find someone to preach to. So there's a light that's shining up there, so we want to keep them in prayer. My brother Andrew asks that we keep his number 7 in prayer, Grace. She's struggling, and we all know what it's like to have a relative that's struggling. We have a promise, but there's a battle that's fought and a struggle along the way. And so, when a man goes, when a visiting minister goes out on the field, the devil stirs things up back at home. So we just ask the Lord to undertake for our sister Grace and to move on the scene and to on her behalf and draw her closer to Him. Amen. He counts the stars, one and all. Knows how much sand is on the shores. He sees each sparrow that falls. Made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything. Of all creatures great and small. He knows my name. Every step that I take. Every move that I make. Every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Aren't you glad this morning? Don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life. But I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name. Every step that I take. Every move that I make, every tear that I cry, He knows my name. When I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day, well, I know I'll be just fine, 'cause He knows my name. Yes, He does. He knows my name.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. Got my preacher jitters this morning.
Nobody here but us.
Well, send my greetings from Chivac. I want to keep Chivac in prayer. Oh, Brother Doug got me here. I told him I was on a vacation, but he put me here. And he put me on twice. But anyway, God knows what He's doing. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes,
Uttermost Tabernacle, when you think about that place, you know, it's a name that we, well, the brothers came up with. And when you think about it, you know, if you go west, the next place is east.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that's how it is. And so if you take a look at those things, you know, that's, I don't know, scriptural. You know, everything that's going on in that place, it's just God doing things. And, you know, I really believe in, you know, if you look at all the scriptures that, or what Brother Branham said concerning, like, the church age books and the seals. And he says, he talks about the church age book, and he says, you know, you get that book, and you get those church ages in place, and then it goes on to seals, you know, unveils. And you can't understand seals unless you get to the church age book. You know, those kind of things. And the very first thing that opened up to us was the church age book. And I dwelled on that, preached out of that book, and that's how we grew, you know, from there. So it's just the grace of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's turn our books to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning. 1 Corinthians. Let's pray before we read. Let's bow our heads. Father God, there's none like You. We love You. We appreciate You. There's none like You, Father, that takes care of His own. And Father, everything for a reason. And Father, just to know that you've even ordained this day, Father, before the foundation of the world. And Father, everything that needs to be said and done, Father, I don't, many times, preacher don't know what they're doing behind the pulpit, Father, but you know what you're doing.
Yes,
and Father God, we ask that you may just come and meet the needs that we have. And whatever it takes, Father, a blessing, a correction, or whatever it is, Father, we give this morning into your hands and asking you just to bless the reading of the word in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 11, the Bible says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now aboundeth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And Father, I bless you with this morning. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, back in the time when, and I don't know if I spoke about these things when I was here back years ago. You know, when I read Revelation chapter 5, you know, one of the, for me, the greatest revelation I've seen was when I read the Revelation 5 and the strong angel, you know, he says, who is worthy to open the book? Yeah. And no, to me, I just saw, you know, in me, that was Brother Branham back in March of 1963. You know, I saw that. You know, I mean, for me, that's real. So real to me that it became so to the point where the message has become so something that I need to come to and really respect, yeah, to realize what this message is for this generation. You know, it was so real to me. You know, I saw it and I couldn't tell nobody. I thought I was crazy. You know, that's a revelation to me. You know, these kind of things, when you come your way, you know, it's like I'm the only one that's seen it. And I have nobody have preached it. Nobody told me about it. Yeah. And for me, I'm thinking, what's going on? You know, the devil is talking to me, you know. But then as years goes on, you know, God confirms those things.
Yes, sir.
It becomes real to us. You know, and then you see those things to where in Revelation 10, we know that scripture so well for all of us here, most of us anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you get to the point where this angel comes down, this mighty angel, he's puts his foot on the sea and the other one on the land. And you realize, you know, he's not stepping on the water. He's not stepping on the land because he's not supposed to.
Right.
It's not time for him yet, right? You know, you take that scripture, you know, when he steps down on that water, you know, we know what it means, you know, the multitude of people and the land, you know, that's a new land, America, you know, that's where the message comes. But the thing that touches that is a pillar of fire.
Yes, sir.
Both of his feet are pillars. They're fires that touch down on the ground. And you know who it is, you know, you are the very one that is.
Right.
That's carrying the message, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we grow. We understand things. And we see those things as we go along. And, you know, I don't want to say, you know, something new to you, because I know you got a good preacher here with us. You know, and he's got a scientific mind, you know, if you get to know him. I really appreciate the brother. You know, it's something that we need to realize concerning the message, because we got so many things that we grew up with.
Yeah.
You know, we grew up with so many things, you know, from the time that we started to be aware of a lot of things, you know, a lot of things caught on to us.
Right.
Either we were taught by it or, you know, we caught on to it,
right.
Whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
You know, Brother Branham said the book is usually termed the Revelation of St. John. But that is incorrect. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ given to John for Christians of all ages. It is the only book in the entire Bible that is written by Jesus himself through personally appearing to a scribe.
Amen.
I want to speak on a thought of restoration of the word. You know, that's been my topic since the very beginning, from as far as I know. You know, I've gone through it. That's been my title, so we'll continue to make it our title here. You know, it is the last book of the Bible.
Yeah.
Yet it tells the beginning and the end of the dispensation of the gospel.
Right.
Now, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of the sculptor unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. You know, we can look at what it looks like. You know, we're already imagining, and we apply it to, for somebody who's looking at the message, we can say, well, you know, all these Bible scholars in the past, you know, they've got their own ideas, their own opinions, their own thoughts. They have applied those things, and every one of them, some of them, they agree together, and we're thinking, yeah, this is more common knowledge, so I'll agree with those things. And just like Brother Branham, when he got into the seals, he did the same thing. You know, he looked at the scholars, what they thought, and he said, yep, that sounds good. I'll go out and tell them those things. But then the Holy Spirit comes and shows him something that he wasn't even thinking of, something totally different. You know, and many times for all of us here, you know, we're a people that are no different. You know, no matter how scientific we may be, no matter how what memory we may have, you know, for me, I don't have the memory like most, but, you know, but praise God, you know, he showed me a few things in Scripture, right? So every time God speaks, and the only thing that he does when he speaks is when people need to get back to God. Yes. From the very beginning, every time God comes on the scene, it's because people need to. Yes. Because people left the Word and they need to get back to the Word of God. You know, every one of them, all the way from the beginning. Yes. And that's what God has done from up to today, right? So he's connecting everyone back to the Scriptures that have drifted away. And even for us here, we drift away from the Word. We got so many voices out there, you know, that tell us certain things. Even with this COVID thing, you know, we've been driven by, you know, we heard somebody at Google say, well, according to the Scripture, you know, that could be, you know, you know, connected to Scriptures, and you know, it's like a mark of the beast or something. You know, you catch those things, so that keeps you to the point where you know, it's been taught so many times that it connects to you and say, well, yeah, it's been said, you know, it looks like it proves it by the result, seems like, because it gives you the ability to buy and sell, basically, you know, if you have that COVID shot. And you're thinking, well, yeah, that sounds scriptural. You know, we're taught things. You know, we see things. And the Word of God brings you back to Scripture, right? You know, we know when the devil comes, and we know the Scripture says, you know, he comes like the angel of light.
Sure, yeah.
Angel of light. And he's coaching Scripture. He talks to Jesus Christ and says, if thou be the Son of God, Scripture says you can create, because right now you're so hungry. You know, you need to eat. You know, it's been 40 days and 40 nights. You got to eat. You know, according to Scripture, you got the power.
Right.
Angel of light.
Right.
Right. He's quoting Scripture.
Right.
You know, we can't deny, you know, some things what the devil has to say. Because he's quoting Scripture.
Yeah.
You know, even today, you know, we can get back to the message and say, well, according to what Brother Branham said, according to what the prophet said. And you can lay down so many quotes that all goes in some direction. I'm not saying that I got the truth, because I know the only preacher I know is Jesus Christ. You know, this is the only one that I know. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I become a man, I put away childish things. Praise the Lord. You know, if you notice a child, and I want to share with you things that you all know. When you were a child, like we said, you know, we experienced things that, you know, all of us here, when a child, he experiences things that he has never experienced before. You know, from the time of birth, you know, when he comes out into the world, you know, the very first thing that they made a feel is, ouch. That didn't happen in the other side. You know, you experience things. You know, the very time that you go into the world, you feel cold. It's not warm like it used to be. You know, so you have to scream out and say, help. You're crying out and you're experiencing it. And the thing is, you know, all those things are happening that you never did before, but you're learning. You're learning things, right? And everything that's going on is totally different from that experience that you had before, right? So everything that you're doing, you're soaking up things. You're soaking up pains and good things. And, you know, your hunger comes, you know, which you never felt before. And you start eating things and that satisfied you. You see, all these things are happening as you go along. You're absorbing things that you never had before, right? You're learning things. You're learning the sounds. You get to know your mom's voice, and you get to know all these things that's going on. So by the things you learn, you respond. And then you become a dictionary to all these things that's going on. You become a definition of all everything. You know, nobody's definition don't matter to you because you got your own. By experience, by the things you learn those things. That's your experience. That becomes your definition, right? So when you grow, you're like that sponge. You're soaking up things. You're learning. You're watching. You're listening, you're tasting, you're doing all those things. You're smelling, you're touching, and then you're feeling the affections, and you're making memories, and all those things are happening, right? So everything that's going on, you're learning. You learn those things. So you start doing things on your own, and you do things because of those experiences, right? You do those things. See, I'm a full-blooded Eskimo. You know, I grew up in a time when there was no electricity, no water and sewer, none of those, all the, everything that we have today. No snow machines, four-wheelers. We had a dock team. My dad had a dock team. And, you know, he knew exactly what to do with the docks. You know, I tried, you know, one time my the docks took off and I tried to do what my dad did. They wouldn't listen to me. I was only like 5 years old, you know, just a little kid. I look back and I look at my dad. He's smiling, watching me. You know, we learn things, experience things. I know what it is to have a dock team. Many of you don't have no idea what it is. You know, some of you, if you never heard of what GVAC is like, I'm pretty sure Brother Doug told you all about it, but if you didn't, you know, you'd still be thinking that we live in igloos. See, it's something that you absorbed, something that you learned, something that was written from back in 1950. Maybe that's how you identify, you know, somebody with a... like me, you know, full-blooded Eskimo, right? You know, I went down to Hawaii one time, and, you know, we'd sat down with a bunch of teenagers, and he said, and they were, a whole bunch of them, they were asking me, do you guys live in igloos? That made me laugh, you know, just, to me, it's funny. So I responded and said, yeah, two-story igloos. And one of them burned down, you know, telling those things. I mean, that boy was so surprised. He said, well, was it electrical? See, the thing is that we absorb things. Yeah. You know, we've got Bible teachings that we came from. We're Bible students, right? Many of us are message students. You know, we learn things, and we've come across, even from different denominations within the message, you know, different groups that we came out of, you know, where we came from, you know, Return Ministry, Perugia, 14 Thunders, or whatever is out there. You know, I don't know how many there are, what they are, you know. You know, let it be, right? Sure. But each one of us, we come with a certain teaching we absorbed, you know, that is connected to maybe Catholicism or Methodists or Return Ministry, whatever it is, you know, where we come into the truth and we got those connections already, right? You know, just like in a time when I got to know that there's two-edged sword, you know, in the scriptures. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking... You know, this is crazy. You know, this, you know, it's, you know, you take a handle and on the blade, it's got one blade over here and one blade on that side. I called it two-edged. And that was my vision of what a two-edged sword. One day I realized it's just only one blade with two edges on both sides.
Yeah, right.
It took me a long time to realize what that means, right?
Good.
See, the thing is, we're a people that are driven by what's been taught to us, what our mind caught,
yes.
You know, how the people presented it to us, right? Praise the Lord. You know, just like my little 3-year-old, you know, she just turned 3 and she's, you can't shut him up. I mean, she'll take anything, little thing that she can put on her hands and just make a phone call. Hello, Dad. I mean, she's walking around on her own. And then she would end up going like this. Just like everybody else. See, she's learned something by watching everybody, what they're doing, right? So we learn things from everything that's around us. People that we associate with. People that we fellowship with.
Yeah.
You know, even to the point where we get to learn to respect Google. Right? You know, even technology, we come to the place and say, well, I want to find out what the definitions are of this. So you call Google.
Right.
Type it in and say, well, this is what Google said. That, you know, to some, you know, that becomes an absolute. You know, it's a hard thing. You know, it's hard to realize. You know, most of us here, you know, we're thinking, yeah, that's those guys don't know what they're doing. But we learn those kind of things, and we get caught by the things that we're associated with.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. You know, we get that impression of an Eskimo, what he is. We get the impression of what the Bible is. We get the impression of what the message is.
Right.
We get an impression of all those things, and the way we present those things, just like your signature, it's a very totally different impression of who you are, and what comes out of you is, you know, the way you do it, right? The way you sign it, that's your impression. You know, I can crumble up the paper, throw it away, and I'm thinking, well, I've destroyed that impression. But if you open up that paper again, it's still the same, right? Tear it up, put it back together, it's still the same. So it's the impression that comes, right?
Yeah.
Just the way you gave it. That's the way how you do things. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I'm noticing a lot of family here that I haven't seen in a long time. God bless you all. Praise the Lord. You know, we know that the devil is so full of human knowledge. He knows us. He knows every one of us. Even the best of us. You know, we're a people that get distracted. We're the people that get tempted and tried and go through so many things. You know, we're driven by so many things. We're driven. We're driven by, I mean, today we're driven by COVID, basically. You know, that's, we're driven by that thing. We're driven by, you know, who believes in COVID and who believes in vaccines, who believes in this and that. You know, we can go either one way or the other.
Yeah.
Well, it don't matter to me. You know, that's your opinion, right? Still, you're my brother, my sister, and, you know, that's your comfort zone. That's fine, right? I got no problem with that. You know, just like Brother Duck talking about my little Grace, you know, she's number 7 in my kids. She's an adult. She's going through troubles, but, you know, I love them.
Yeah.
You know, she's going through her trials, but I love them. I love that girl. You know, I love my oldest son. You know, he's out in the world, out there, but I love that boy. I love him.
Yeah.
You know, I care for him. I wouldn't do that to nobody else but him, right? You know, if somebody gets drunk and go do something else, you know, I let him be. Fine. But for him, I got to say something about it, right? You know, I got to do it because I got to say something to him. Just like for us with God, you know, us being with a family with God, you know, it's, you know, God will not do anything with somebody else's child, right? You know, just like when you go to a, you know, get, where the kids are all playing and they're all doing the same thing, everything, and you go out and your child notices you. None of them notices you. Maybe somebody will say, hey, your dad. And if they do anything wrong, the group, your child is the only one that's going to get in trouble. Everybody else gets away with it. Right? You know, just like God with us. All of us here, we're children of God. Right. God's not going to make sure. You know, he's going to make sure that we don't get away with it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
You know, we're a part of his family.
Amen.
You know, we're children. We're chastised. We're corrected because we're children. But he will leave everybody else alone because that's their business. You know, the devil will make them rich and everything else, you know, fine, you know. But God's got a plan with me.
Yeah.
You know, he's got a plan with me. But we're growing. And this message is restoring something that's been lost.
Amen.
You know, just preaching, right? It don't matter, right?
Nope.
It's fine. You know, I don't have to write,
nope,
read scriptures and
nope,
quote quotes. And you know, I'm thinking that you know all these things. So forgive me if I'm going over your head. I mean, to me, it's simple. I mean, it's the way I see it. It's, you know, when I think about being an Eskimo, and I can talk to you about what an Eskimo is, but, you know, to some of you, if you have no idea what it is, you know, you're like, what's he talking about? All right? I mean, to me, it's normal. I can talk about it, you know, generally, because I'm thinking you know already all the details. And that's how I sometimes get to the message. I'm thinking you're all message believers.
Sure.
You're all Bible students. And the way I present it to you is that if I say anything general, you know all the details. You know, that's what I'm thinking. That's where I come sometimes, right? You know, that's pretty hard sometimes, amen? You know, we're a people that are being restored to something that we came from. We're restoring to something that was lost.
Yeah.
You know, Brother Branham, he preached a message called Spiritual Amnesia.
Yeah.
You know, he preached a message, you know, talking about this young man who had got hurt in a war, and he's on his way, got off for a break and walking down this trail, and he started to see something that seems familiar, right? He's on his way there. And this message is bringing us to the place where we have lost something.
Yes.
You know, we're coming to that restoration to know who we are,
yes,
right? Because a lot of we have an idea how the Pentecostal thinks, how the Methodist thinks, how the Baptist thinks. You know, we know those things. You know, we can pray with a Pentecostal and say, Father, I need this and that, and I need an extra money, I need healing, I need all those things. You know, what I'm doing, I'm asking something to fulfill something good for this flesh. There's nothing wrong with that. That's scripture. But you're coming to the recognition to know who you are, because it's not this flesh that we're dealing with. We're talking about somebody that we cannot even see today. It's an unveiling. It's a seal being broken that's showing Jesus Christ, right?
Yes, sir.
Then we can say, I understand what he's talking about when he says fiery trials are more precious. And to me, it's like, really? You know, but it hurts. I'm not comfortable. I don't like it. But if I understood why things are,
that's
right?
That's
restoration of the Word of God, recognizing who you are. It's not, you know, this old flesh, this old body is so caught up with everything around us, around here, right?
Yeah.
You know, even our mind is working with people around us. And, you know, we can look at everybody and say, well, I know that guy's pretty good. That guy's not too bad. This person's got a problem. You know, you get to the point where you're, everything that you see, that you imagine, and it's all there. But you take a look at a man like Brother Branham. You know, I know he's like a wave sheaf. He's like a wave sheaf to me. He was a man that people testify that if you talk to him, he'll talk to every single body, soul, you know, good, bad, ugly, whoever they are. Have the same language to every one of them. Same attitude to every one of them. He will love them. Everyone. He will treat them exactly the same, everyone, right? I mean, you think about this man who's able to do something that we don't really understand. You know, we're thinking, this man knows that guy's a sinner. You know, how come he's treating him like this? Right? Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, you know, we live in three realms, right? You know, the body, soul, and spirit, right? Body, spirit, and soul. And every one of us, you know, we know that we're in a place where we need to recognize what those things are. Because this message is bringing us to the point where we need to realize what this body is, what our spirit is, and there's something inside of us that receives only faith and doubt, right?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, we're coming to that place, that recognition. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, every one of us, we've come to the place, you know, to realize who we are, because we're a people that saw something that a lot of people cannot even see. We're recognizing something that nobody else, that unless God shows it to them. And I believe that God showed me something.
Sure.
Amen. God showed me something that nobody else can see. I showed them the very same thing that God showed me, and they're like, let me talk to the priest. They're relying on somebody, but not by the revelation. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, you know, this world is in a place where it's fighting for security.
Yeah.
And even for us here as believers, you know, some of us are fighting for security within the message. Mm-hmm. Some of us are fighting for those things. And the restoration of the Word of God should bring you to the place where you know that you have security.
Right.
Not just because that you know Brother Branham, not just because you heard the message, not just because you go to divine fellowship.
Right.
You know, it's a security that we know definitely on the inside, because my life shows something that is totally different from everybody else, because we know the life of Jesus Christ was totally different from everybody else. It was a hard, hard life for everybody else. They couldn't understand who he was, because the life that he lived was totally different. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Security. People looking for security. And this word of God is bringing us to that security. It's bringing us to that place. Because right now, COVID has given us so much security in this world. Right? I mean, you go out to the native village. I don't know if it's happening here. But, you know, they're giving us lots of money.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Lots of money. You know, they're giving you, you miss work, they give you money. Right? You know, you're on quarantine, they give you money. You know, just identify COVID and you got the money. You know, security. I mean, this world is so full of security. You know, we got the food stamp security, NASA security, job security. You know, any kind of security that we can find in the world. You know, anything. It's all there, right?
Right.
Security is there. Fighting for security. But it don't mention what God can do for you.
Right.
You know, it's telling you how to live comfortable in this life.
Yeah.
So you will never want to leave this life. Right? You know, we're at that position where we each one of us have to realize the security of our Lord Jesus Christ. This word, this message. You know, there's nothing else that we have but this message.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I don't know how long I've been here, brother. I don't want to spend all day here, brother. Praise the Lord. Well, the thing is that the thought that I have, talking about the restoration of the Word of God, because we're all people that are so caught up with things we learned.
Yeah.
You know, because many of us, we believe the world was created in 7 days. Yeah, many of us believe that. But I disagree with that.
Yeah.
Because God rested on the seventh day. He was doing nothing on the seventh day. He did 6 days of work. You know, and we're like, really? You know, but I heard that all my life. It's been 7 days. You know, we catch things. We hear things and we dwell on those things because we heard it just in a certain way. And it stuck with us.
Uh-huh.
Right? It stuck with us just the way we heard it. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to read this quote again. He says, the book is usually termed the revelation of St. John, but that is incorrect. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, given to John for Christians of all ages. It is the only book in the entire Bible that is written by Jesus himself through personally appearing to a scribe. It is the last book of the Bible, yet it tells the beginning and the end of the dispensation of the Gospels. Now, the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in the example of the sculptor unveiling his work of a statuary, exposing it to the onlooker. Exposing it to the onlooker. It is an uncovering, revealing what was previously hidden. Now, the uncovering is not only the revelation of the person of Christ, but it is the revelation of his future works in the oncoming seven church ages. And the message is called the God hiding himself in simplicity. He says, now, if the Lord willing, I want to draw from this text to speak on just shortly, as quick as I possibly can, and then sit down to listen at some more testimonies. I want to take this subject here, God's hiding himself in simplicity. You know, God is so great, he hides himself in simplicity and then reveals himself in the same thing he hides himself in. God is so great, he can make himself simple. That's what makes him great. So many miss him in the simplicity, simple ways that he hides himself. Now, we know that man cannot do this. Man cannot make that. He hides himself. Man cannot make himself great enough to be simple. See, now what makes God so great is because he can be so simple, and God does not reveal himself in greatness as we call greatness. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, we know Jesus Christ, when he came as a illegitimate son, right? You know, as the world sees him, right? He was a breaker of law. You know, he went against the law that was written by Moses. You know, if you look at those things, he was a man that was not accepted by, you know, the greatest teachers at that time. You know, he was a totally different man. But here was this man who was totally different from everybody else, living in a different world with a different mission.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right? When you think about those things, you know, I think about Adam in the beginning. You know, he was a man who had everything that was in his heart's desire. You know, he was able to tell this mountain to move here, this tree to go over there. All those things happened, you know, because this man, you know, he was in a perfect will of God.
Yeah.
Until sin came.
Right.
He was in a perfect will of God. Everything was perfect, just the way he wanted it. And then Jesus comes along. He was in the very same place that Adam was. Everything that he says, right?
Right.
Everything that he desired.
Yes.
You know, something for us to see, because that restoration of the Word of God is bringing us back to the very same thing that Adam was before sin came. The very same things that Jesus was.
Yes.
At the time, 2,000 years ago, the very same thing that they were in that place, that's where we're coming to.
Right.
Coming to that recognition, to where even Brother Branham would say, well, yeah, he was a special person. He was a special person. I respect that man. I respect his ministry. But he is somebody that I need to look at and say, here's a man who could do exactly what those two men did in the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's the very thing that I can become. Right? I'm no different.
Right.
I'm within that kingdom. I'm within that environment. I should be that.
Right.
Very same thing. Not somebody just wishing to be.
Oh.
I should recognize who I am. I am a child of God. I am somebody special. I'm nothing less than a child of God. I'm not trying to get there. If I think I'm just a sole of my foot of some God's kingdom, well, the sole of the foot is holding on to the whole body. Then you are somebody special if you think you're the sole of the foot.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I thank you for holding me up. Praise the Lord. That's who we are. We are the children of God. We are somebody special in the kingdom of God. We're nothing less than the children of God. We are a part of that kingdom that God places here for, to recognize who we are, because we are somebody in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. God hiding in simplicity. God hiding in each one of you here that truly believe who you are. God hiding in simplicity, because there's something special about you. There's something special that God placed you here for a purpose, for a reason. You're not just here just to fill up space. God's got a reason for you to be here, right? Praise the Lord. Now the Greek word for revelation is apocalypse, which means unveiling. This unveiling is perfectly described in a simple example of the sculptor unveiling his work of statuary, exposing it to the onlooker.
Yes.
Not just anybody, to the onlooker. There's got to be, I mean, you have to, you know, Brother Branham, he's talking about this white rock, and he told all these men to say, keep your eyes on that. You know, I'm going to the west, I'll be back. You know, keep your eyes on it. Many people looked at it and said, what are we here to look at? They walked away. Right? Praise the Lord. You know, we are here to look at something that God gave to us today. Because here we are, I mean, we're a people that we're not capable of interpreting God's mind. We're not capable of doing it. You know, we're just mere human beings here, like anybody else. You know, we're you know, just like somebody out at the bar. We got the same spirit or body, just like they. But there's something special with you. There's something special inside. Something special that needs to be unveiled,
yeah.
Right? There's something special in you that's not there with them.
Amen.
That's totally different, right? Now, how can a little finite mind interpret the infinite mind when we can't even interpret one another's mind?
My mind.
That's a good quote there, right? Praise the Lord. You know, you look at somebody walking by, they're looking at you in a mean way. And you're thinking, that guy don't like me. And all this time, this guy is thinking about somebody else. You know, we're a people that respond by things we see, things we smell, things we feel. Right? Praise the Lord. I'm just being simple this morning.
Amen.
I want to read a scripture talking about simplicity of God in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the king of Israel. And he departed and took him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto you, I have therefore sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. So here's this Gentile. You know, he's heard something that is so real to him. Right? It's real to him. This is a Gentile. This is not Jew. This is not, you know, from the lineage. This is a Gentile. He heard something and he said, that's what I want. I know I can get it. I believe it. This is real. You know, I can get it. You know, he heard a little girl. He believed the voice of the little girl. Right? He caught that and he said, I believe this little girl. I want to get something that what she said. She's a witness. She's an ambassador to the kingdom of God, and I want to get what she's got. So he sends a letter. You know, he wants to buy this.
Yeah.
Right? He wants to buy it, you know, because he believes. You know, he's giving everything. I don't know how much that was, but you know, that was a lot for that time, pretty sure. So he sends him out, and he said, When the king of Israel read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, am I God? The king of Israel couldn't believe what this Gentile is talking about. He's not catching what the Gentile is saying. Praise the Lord. Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeks a quarrel against me. He's looking at the bad side of everything.
Sure.
Here this man is looking for help, and the response is, let's fight. I mean, think about the simplicity of God, how he works things. You know, it's when God speaks something, there's always something negative that responds. You know, God speaks to you and Google responds in a different way. You know, something like that. And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? I let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. He didn't go to the man. He sent a messenger. And the messenger said, go to the River Jordan, the dirtiest, filthiest, no good place to swim in. Go to that place, not to that beautiful Euphrates River. I don't know what other places were there. Go to that filthy place and wash yourself. Think about it. This Gentile looked at him and said, crazy. You know, how could you send me to a dirty place to get try to heal my open sores? I got open sores on me. You want me to get more dirt in my, you know, my these things? I'm not going to. He walks away. But he told him, he says, but what if he told you to go and conquer the greatest nation in the world? Would you have listened? Well, okay, I'll go see him. Goes out into the water and he dips himself. Nothing. I mean, this is crazy, you know. I tried, it didn't work. You know, many times, you know, we approach God and we get on our knees and we pray and he doesn't respond. So it seems, anyway. And we say, well, I guess this is the will of God. I mean, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, that's us. You know, we're thinking to the point where if it didn't happen, then it must be God's will. I mean, right away we're thinking God's will.
Yeah. Right. Good.
But the Bible told me, ask until you receive. Well, I'm going to go in the water again. I asked again. Nothing happened. I tried, I asked, nothing happened. Well, the thing was, he did it, finally, 7 times. He come out of that water with a skin, smooth as a baby. Regardless of what he thought, he had to fulfill the word of God. The restoration of the word of God, it had to be fulfilled according to the word, not because we think. It don't look like it's the right thing. Right?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I mean, we're a people that need to recognize who we're dealing with.
Yes.
We have a God. If God wants to take me, you know, that's fine. But he promised me healing.
Yes.
You know, we've been asking all this time. It looks like everything is getting bad. But still, you know, God promised me healing.
Yes, sir.
You know, Daniel prayed, and the angel told him, yeah, we heard you on the first day. I know it's been 3 weeks,
right.
But we heard you on the first day.
Yeah.
But you know what the problem was? You're caught up with Facebook and internet and all these fellowship with all the other denominations. And, you know, your buddy over there is talking about certain things. And, well, all those demons that you fight with. Yeah. Keeping you from looking at the truth that's been given to you today. All these technology things, all these things have been given to you today. Especially you at this day and age. You're so caught up with all these things that technology has to give.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I want to use technology for the good.
Yes.
Not for the bad. You know, right. The tree of knowledge of good and bad.
Sure.
I want to use the good part.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You know, we're at the age where we got to know who we are because God is calling each one of us. Now, I want to approach prayer, if we may, Lord willing, maybe tonight. And I just want to talk about, you know, something about prayer. But, you know, it's, I mean, when you think about the what God has brought us to today, you know, this revelation that's been given to us. I mean, I know you know it. I know you've heard these things before, but, you know, we can't say that we heard it before.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we heard this part of that.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't heard that part yet. You know? If you believe, you shall have everlasting life. Well, yeah, I believe I'll have everlasting life, but I got to know the in-between.
Yeah.
To get to that part, right? I believe now there's things I haven't seen yet, which is in the Bible, that brings you to that everlasting life. So I need to catch what he's saying in between, right? Praise the Lord. We're fighting a fight here today. I'll tell you what, I lost so many battles. Even this morning, I lost a battle. But I'm in a war that's already been won. Really? You fought a battle and you lost? Mm-hmm. I got a flesh like you. I got a mind like yours. There's so many things in the world that's temptations that we don't want to think about. We go through battles. You know, it's if I want deliverance from something, and I say, Lord, can you help me be delivered from this? They say, yes, my son. Okay, here's a problem. Fight it. Well, you lost the battle. Well, let's try again. Oh, another one. Let's try again. But Father, you said, well, that's what he's doing.
Yes.
Father, I got this impatient character about me. Well, okay. I'll let you make sure that you're so impatient with something. I got to the point, you know, back in those days, I'm thinking, I'm not going to pray for patience anymore. But in all reality, I need it.
Sure.
I need those things. And God's going to do it the way he knows best.
Yes.
The best way is for me to write through it.
Yes.
See, when Jesus was with the disciples, and he'd done some great miracles. You know, here's a man. Great miracles were happening, and he was so tired. He gets into the boat, in the same boat with the disciples. The devil came anyway, even though he was there. Storm came. He was in a boat, rocking with everybody else. Disciples were scared. You know, they wanted help, and they were looking at Jesus saying, "You're going to let us die." Oh, ye of little faith. See, our Lord is with us, each one of us. But we're still in this flesh that's not immune to what the devil has to offer. But he will be there with us to ride us through the storm.
Amen.
We're not immune to anything that the devil has to give. We're going to get sick. You know, we're going to be troubled. We're going to be tried. You know, tears are going to come. Pain is going to come. Discomfort is going to come. But if I believe that he's with me, he's going to let me go through it. Right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The important thing, one of the important things that we must master. Now remember this, especially you young preachers, lay members alike. There's one thing that you've got to master if we expect to fulfill God's desire in our life. That is, we have to master the thought of human ability. If we ever get to the spot where we think that we can do it with our own intelligence and our own abilities, we've got to master that in such a way that we can get rid of the thing and lay it aside so that God can use us. Amen. And make a complete surrender. We cannot use one ability. We've got to make it complete surrender and come to God. We've got to surrender to him both soul, body, and spirit. Everything that you are has to be surrendered to God in order that he can work his will in you and me. Amen. No, that's hard. I'll raise my hand to that. Yes, sir. That's hard.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Amen. But I saw visions. I spoke in tongues. And I'm one of the preachers. Yeah, really. but still hard.
Amen.
So much more for Brother Doug. You know, he's a shepherd. Devil's trying to kill him all every day. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, now you have to die before you can be born again. You know, you need a killing of yourself.
Yeah.
This tabernacle needs a killing, and me with it. All of us, we need a killing so that we can be revived in a new life, a new hold, a new hope, a new experience. We need first a day of mourning. We need a place of yielding to the Spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is good, amen. Brother, can I check out? Let's pray. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, there's so much hay in my fork, Father. But Lord God, you know how to deal with it. And I can just remember that story of a little boy who just folded his hands together and he recited the ABCs and ended it with an amen. Father, there's so many things going through my head even, but you know how to put it together. Lord, you know what the people need, and each one, Lord God, exactly the things they're going through in life. And Lord, even just a little portion maybe that was mentioned today, that was stated, Lord God, let it be such a revelation to us.
Yes.
Father, we love you. We appreciate you, Lord God. You know where we're at, and you know each one of our hearts, where they're at. And Lord, we're even thinking of those that may not be here, those that are sick, and Lord, whatever it may be, even with COVID or cancer or whatever it is, Father, you're the master of the world. Lord, we can only lean on you that you could come on the scene for them. Father, how we don't want to see them suffering at all. It bothers us so much when they're in discomfort, Father. Lord, we just love to see you just come on the scene for them. Father God, you know each one of us where we're at, and Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, you know how to do things. Father, we give you the remainder of this service today. Lord, if there's such a service, another one that's coming tonight, Father, we give it all into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.